I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah. That plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hey, everyone. Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What's up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? You have stumbled into a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. We are the show that dives into the catalog, the discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. You know the drill if you've been with us before, but if you haven't, welcome. I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Kammeyer, with me as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, what's your favorite album by Led Zeppelin?
My favorite Led Zeppelin album? Oh, it's got to be Led Zeppelin 4, right? That's got to be the most romantic album of all time.
I agree. So romantic. Fellas, don't sleep on that album when you're ready to, get romantic. And that's all we'll say about that. This is not the Led Zeppelin show. This
but
is
I will
Van
say,
Halen.
Yeah, I will say, maybe check out Backtrack's theme music in the coming weeks, because that Zeppelin 4 remark will make much more sense then.
Little hints. Listen to the other shows. That's what we do here. But Corey, what is going on in the world of Van Halen? Because that is what people are here to listen to discuss. And there seems to be here lately a lot of discussion going on in the Van Halen world, surprisingly enough. Talk to us about it.
Yeah, there's been a lot going on, and we haven't really addressed it because we had a lot of guests, and when we have guests, we have a lot to chat about, so we didn't want to make the shows like super long or anything. But I thought, since this is the last like Corey Mark show for a while, because we have All Star August coming up here pretty quick, mm-hmm. and some really terrific guests, we thought we'd just maybe touch on some of the things. And we alluded to this earlier, the interview with Blair Fisher, who came out, we did a thing for Rolling Stone talking about his relationship with Eddie Van Halen before he passed away, and some of the great, great little nuggets of information that were in that article. It was a really great article, and Blair really seems like a cool guy, and he's actually apparently a friend of Chris L. So I thought that was pretty neat. But he emailed Eddie from like 2015 to 2020, and a lot of stuff came out about the kitchen sink tour that was alleged at the time that everybody was going to come back for. In 2019, Eddie kind of revealed he was ready for a whole new beginning. He was asked by Hans Zimmer to work on the soundtrack for Top Gun Maverick, which would have been amazing, right?
Like, yeah, it would have.
Do you hear? Imagine him on guitar doing the Top Gun anthem and adding his own little flair to it, right? Like, how fucking great is that?
There's a moment at the very end of Twister as the ending credits are rolling where it's just Eddie just doing and I'm blanking on the name of the track. I'm sure at some point we'll come to it. But it's just Eddie playing guitar. It almost sounds like this kind of ethereal freestyle on guitar, and it just it works with the imagery of the clouds and everything happening from the movie Twister. And I've got to imagine that he would have done something similar, yet a little bit more, dare I say, epic for Top Gun Maverick, because that movie was epic. The hype is real, you guys. We don't talk about movies on this show, but we should, because that movie's awesome.
Seen it twice now. Loved every second of it. But you mentioned epic. I always kind of, you know, equated Eddie Van Halen's guitar playing as being epic. So, and very cinematic. It would have fit so well. And actually, another project he said he was asked to do, Keanu Reeves wanted him to make music for one of the John Wick movies, which, again, fits like a glove and would have been phenomenal.
Oh, that just, oh, that breaks my heart so hard. I love the John Wick movies. And I really dig the soundtrack. Shout out to Tyler Bates, the composer. But I mean, a lot of the choices of songs in those movies I really dig. But oh my God, could you imagine that? John Wick just going on a tear and you got Eddie Van Halen in the background just noodling away. Good God, that's perfection.
Chef's kiss, absolutely. And then the third project he kind of mentioned was Bryan Adams. And because I'm Canadian, I thought this was great. Bryan Adams was a good friend of Eddie Van Halen's, and he wanted to collaborate on a project. So Eddie had a lot of irons in the fire in 2019. And unfortunately, you know, it wasn't meant to be. So go find that article. There's links to it on the Van Halen News Desk, of course, but it was from Rolling Stone. Well worth the read. But of course, out of that, you know, Eddie mentioned some things about his lead singer, David Lee Roth, and things that we already all know, that David Lee Roth is, you know, impossible to work with. And, you know, like he said, and Wolfie had a great quote, and like the entire time Wolfie was in Van Halen, the fact that they did three tours and put out a live album and one album of original material was a fucking miracle. And when you think about how David Lee Roth mixes with Van Halen, and he's absolutely right, it is a fucking miracle. But there's a couple of things that Eddie Van Halen said in that article that David Lee Roth responded to, which he did exclusively on the Van Halen News Desk. I'll read you his exact quote, because it's not very long. Eddie had mentioned that David Lee Roth only likes dance music and hates bands like AC/DC, and he called AC/DC fans culturally illiterate, which makes perfect sense to me. I could see David saying that. Dave's response, though, was this. One, I've always loved AC/DC. Two, I've never said that anyone's audience was culturally illiterate. I said that Ed was culturally illiterate. God bless our troops. D. That was his entire statement. So
that's just like how do we sum up a subtext middle finger in a single statement? Here you go. That's like, that's just, I felt the fingers close except for the middle one, just in the span of those few words.
You know, I've read in other places where David Lee Roth has said he's, you know, he's not really a rock music fan. You can see it in his solo stuff, you know, crazy from the Heat. You know, he's doing Just a Gigolo and, you know, even California Girls, which I guess technically is kind of a pop rock song from the Beach Boys. But, you know, he kind of lends more to the vaudevillian side of things. If you go see a David solo show, you know, and, you know, maybe that's why the Eat 'Em and Smile kind of lineup didn't last that long with guys like Steve Vai and things like that. Right. You know, now he's working with John Five and Greg Bissonette and things like that. And they're doing some cool stuff. Hopefully David Lee Roth has a solo album coming out soon. But I kind of believe Eddie when he says stuff like that. And Wolfie actually mentions that, you know, his dad would do all these interviews and tell the truth, and everybody hated it and called him a liar, whether it be Michael Anthony. There's even a really great, a very telling quote in the Rolling Stone article from Eddie Van Halen about Michael Anthony, where, you know, originally how he started chatting with this Blair Fisher fellow, Blair asked, hey, how's Mike Anthony doing? And Eddie said, not nearly as good as Wolfgang is, or something to that effect. Right. And he said, you know, when Sammy kind of left Van Halen, Mike went with him, and he kind of considered that a huge betrayal. Now, that doesn't discount that they treated him quite poorly in the years previous in Van Halen. But I thought it was kind of interesting that Eddie saw Mike going off to play with Sammy as being kind of a betrayal.
It's very interesting and very kind of, ironic, as you mentioned, and we've talked about it before. They didn't really treat Michael all that great and really kind of took his position for granted. We have seen and heard examples of this when Michael's not even playing on the album. There are some albums he's not playing. It's Eddie playing him. And I don't know about you, but there are times where that's very telling because Eddie's style and Michael's style of playing are very different. Not to say one is better than the other. They're just different. And the more we do this show and the more we listen and analyze and we really feel the cohesive energy with all four members, whether it doesn't matter who the front man is, the Michael, Eddie, and Alex of it all is a pretty strong constant. And when you take that away and when you replace it with a different sort of style, it's noticeable. I think it's very noticeable. And it does not shock me. It doesn't shock me that Michael would go off with Sammy after all that time. And it's clear that him and Sammy had a better rapport than Sammy had, I guess, with the Van Halen boys. What are you going to do? All I can say about that is band drama's fun. Isn't it fun? Yeah. Van Halen is not immune to it. No band out there is immune to it. Even if they
not
are
not immune
like,
to it. I think Van Halen cornered the market on it.
Well, I mean, Motley Crue might have a word with you about that. Oh, Guns N' Roses crazy. Too. Dare I mention the brothers in Oasis. And that is the last time I'll ever mention that band on this show. But you mentioned earlier, a little bit earlier, about the All-Star August. And we have on our Twitter, we have a poll. We have several polls because we're trying to get a feedback on who we want to bring back as a guest. The only person that's been back multiple times is our dear frenemy, John Mariano. Sometimes he's there whether we want him to or not. He just appears. He's like, what was that little alien that just showed up in the Flintstones?
Gazoo, the Great Gazoo.
Yeah. Mariano is our Great Kazoo. He just sort of, he pops in when he wants to. He either makes a mischief chaos or sometimes, you know, he's a helping hand. We love and hate him both for those reasons. So we put it out to you guys, the listeners, who do you want to see or who do you want to hear rather come back to the show other than Mariano, but I'm pretty sure Mariano is on the poll as well. So Corey, do you want to take a look at those polls and see where we're at?
Absolutely. As we record this, we only got a couple days left on the initial round of voting. So when this show drops on Friday, these will be final, but unless we get a big swing in the next 2 days, this is pretty much how the voting for phase one is going to shake out. In group one of our potential of the guests we've had on the show were Chris L, who's our first guest, who was an amazing guest. Of course, Pot of Thunder is the main reason why we're doing this show. We totally ripped off their format. We fully agree. Chris says, you know, we didn't trademark it. I'm like, I know, but we still want to, you know, we walk because they ran. They're truly the leaders in rock and roll podcasting. So Chris L is in the group along with John Mariano, who was an early guest of ours. David was our first like real fan who came on, who actually emailed us at podcastwillrock@gmail.com and said he wanted to be on the show and did a fantastic job. And of course, Kelsey, who is a real fan favorite. She just did a phenomenal job. And the results of this poll so far are proving that, as Kelsey is running away with it, 66.7% leading this group. I thought the Chris L fans, the Pot of Thunder fans, may have come out in bigger numbers. I, however, think maybe Chris L voted for Kelsey, so he wouldn't have to come back. So maybe he directed the Pot of Thunder guys to don't vote for me, vote for anybody else. So I don't have to go back. Yeah, I don't want to talk to those jackasses about Van Halen anymore. But Kelsey running away with that one. She actually went on Twitter and said, everybody vote for me so I can come back on the show. And so far it's working for her. She's leading group one. And then in group two, we got some heavy hitters here as well. Jeff Saunders, a good friend of ours, Mark, from the Feeding the Monster days and the movie trivia face-off days. He's in this group along with Greg DePasquale, who, of course, unfortunately spung How Many Say I. I was hoping he would get a ton of votes because we owe him another show badly.
It's true.
Oh, yeah. Eric Senich from the Van Halen News Desk who I just want to mention suffered a very big loss in his personal life. And we want to send our sincerest condolences to Eric and Eric's family as they go through this very tough time. Uh-huh. And my friend, Brett Cooper, who came on and totally fucked up the format of the show and I had to yell at him. he's in this group here. Right now, Eric Senich leading this group, 56%. Greg DiPasquale is second with 28. And then Jeff and Brett in third and fourth. So it looks like Eric will be moving on to round two with Kelsey, which I think is great. I'm really excited to see when the three leaders are in their own group, how the votes shake out. Because in group three, we have our last four guests. And they're, three of them are from right here on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. We have a Jonathan who came on and did a Four Unlawful song that he didn't know and actually liked it so much. I think he went out and got the album. You can catch him on all his shows, including the new one, So Far, So Pod, So What, on Megadeth, right here on the Deep Dive Podcast Network. Scott Haskins from the Magicians Podcast. He's been on the Aerosmith show with us. He came on and spun the wheel. He's in this group, as well as George, who was just on last week. For Metal Gods and the Sean Geek and Fast Fret brothers. We had a lot of fun with them. The brothers from Winnipeg, they're in this group. And right now they're leading it 58.3%. In second place, George and Jonathan tied. And then Scott is 16.7. So right now, if you're listening to this on Friday, it's probably going to shake out that Sean Geek and Fast Fret, Eric Senich, and Kelsey are moving on to round two, and we'll have another week-long poll. Everybody get your votes in. Whoever wins, we're going to reach out and hopefully get them on that last week in August to be on the show.
We will find out who the true all-star of the Podcast Will Rock lineup truly is. That'll be fun. No matter who wins the poll, it'll be a very fun show. Part of me really, actually, it would not matter to me. I would like all of these people to come back on the show. But I'd be lying if I didn't say I was a little bit kind of bummed that poor Greg, he's not going to win this poll.
You know what? We're going to bring him back anyway. We're bringing Greg back anyway.
We're bringing him back. So
yeah.
And don't George you fret, too. Greg. Yeah. And George, the goal is to get, anyone who wants to come back as much as possible. We'll, cause you know, we're not prudes here. We're all here to have fun and talk about Van Halen. That is the goal, and that is what we strive to do. And speaking of Van Halen and Twitter, I don't know if you saw this, but even as of today of this recording, Van Halen has been trending on Twitter, and I decided to dive into that. And the reason being, I think the main reason is because today is a birthday of a Van Halen member, but not just any Van Halen member, a special member that we seem to talk about a lot on this show, for better or for worse, we do. And I'm referring to the short tenured vocalist, Gary Cherone. Formerly of Extreme, and of course, you guys, if you've been listening to us, of Van Halen 3's, shall we say, fame. And I just want to say, first of all, happy birthday, Gary. I hope your day has been amazing. I hope it's awesome. I hope a lot of people have not been giving you shit. It is not our intention to give you shit whatsoever, but we have had our thoughts on the album that you sang on. And that's, you know, it is what it is. But nevertheless, happy birthday to you.
100%. Happy birthday, Gary. I love Extreme. I'm a little more positive on Van Halen 3 than Mark is. Mark hates Van Halen 3. It was prevalent in last week's show, where, of course, we did Ballot or the Bullet. Mark, you'll be happy to know that the Twitterverse, or at least the ones that listen to our show, kind of agree with us. They're 71.7% The Dream Is Over, 28.3% What Dreams Are Made Of. So a majority win for This Dream Is Over, but still 28% of the people really dug this song. And we actually have one positive comment. If you want to get into the comments now, we can do that.
Let's absolutely do that.
All right. And right off the hop, Sean Geek and Fast Fret said, "Oh my God, I hate to do this. Like Mark said, love Gary, just not here." So happy there birthday, Gary. Everybody loves you, just not here.
Just not here. Oh boy.
Der Erse said, "In my honest opinion, Van Halen 3 gets too much shit in general. Just as with 1984 or 5150 and Fair Warning, Eddie wanted to push the envelope and bring the band to a new territory. Yet due to the lack of adequate producer and conjugal singer, congenial singer. I had eye drops today, so it's hard to read, actually. So please bear with me.
You're good.
Congenial singer, co-writer, most of the effort obviously failed. And that's a good point. We talked about the production on that album as being quite poor. And, because they just kind of threw Gary in there without really getting to know the band too much beforehand, that could hurt kind of the songwriting process. So while I'm sure Mark doesn't really agree with it gets too much shit in general, we will agree that, a better producer and more of a relationship with the lead singer, I think, could have certainly helped that album a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Next, Michael Green, a big listener of all of our shows. And thank you very much, Michael, says, you know, you guys know exactly where I'm coming from. It's What Dreams Are Made Of. Great guest in at Risky Georgeness, of course. He loves Metal Gods podcast, as we all do. I like the song. I knew where the votes would go. It's all good. Van Halen 3 for life. Mark the Bat and Corey Moore said, it's not extreme, so quit crying. Okay.
No, we want it to be extreme. No, well, we are quite aware, Michael, that it's not extreme, and that's
aware. Yeah,
we're very aware. Okay, we make that a very big point to point that out.
Here's another one from Dirt Urs. I don't know, Urs Hessenhauer is his at Twitter handle. He says to piggyback on his previous comment. However, there are many hidden gems in some of those songs, just as the overall guitar work on Ballot. Also like the aggressive tone of the song, one of the better ones of a generally failed attempt. Would you think that was one of the better ones of the three or four that we've covered so far, Mark?
No, I would not.
See, and I liked it a little more than you guys. So I would say out of the, what are we at, four? I would put it at the top two. Like Without You, I upvoted. I generally really like that song. And live, it's even better. Yeah. But this one I would put second. So I would say so far, maybe one of the better songs.
I'm just saying, like, maybe as we keep going through Van Halen 3, and because we're not done with it, I might change my mind and go, you know what? Yeah, maybe Ballot was one of the better ones. But as of right now, no, it's still pretty down low on for me.
Gotcha. Our good friends at the Deep Purple podcast said, tough one. Very disjointed with some interesting bits. Best part was probably the little trade-off between Alex and Eddie, even if it's very derivative of Zeppelin. Did you get a Zeppelin vibe listening to this one?
I didn't, but I kind of see what they're saying now that I'm thinking about it. Initially I did not get that vibe, but I understand.
I totally do too. And anytime there's a little trade off between Alex and Eddie, very welcome in my book. I love that when they kind of play off each other, especially during the guitar solos, but it's supposed to be about Eddie's guitar and Alex will throw a little fill in, like, don't forget. I'm right here, little brother.
I'm still here. Yeah.
John Mariano shitposted and kind of alluded to the fact that he voted up this song.
Yeah, we know.
We know exactly. Brian from Your Old Doomed, a Friday the 13th podcast. And this is my favorite comic because I agree 100%. He said the chorus is supposed to elevate a song and actually make you feel something. But the chorus in Ballad of the Bullet just hits like a wet turd on a windshield. And I didn't mention this on the show, and I felt bad after. The chorus really is bad in this song. Like you said, it's supposed to elevate a song. And to me, it was the weakest part of the song.
I want to say it falls flat, but I don't mean that in the sense that Gary's singing flatly, although sidebar, he kind of is. That's absolutely right. It's supposed to elevate you, and instead you're just right there flat on the ground. I got nothing out of that chorus. I think that's probably what made me really dislike the song the most. It's like, maybe you could save it with a good catchy chorus. Nope.
Yep. I agree. Gene says, still five songs left to do from this album. I'll take the bullet, please. So I'm sure, you know what, I think Mark would too at this point.
that's my favorite comment on this thread.
And finally, Kevin Brown, who I think is on next week's show, actually, from the Tom Petty show. He says, it's always amazing when a band as good as Van Halen tanks so hard. Absolute train wreck top to bottom. Other than the excellent acoustic work, it's incredibly generic and disappointing. I listened to it again after the episode and actually found myself drifting, getting bored.
You and me both, Kevin, I think disappointing is a great word, a great review for the record so far, because as you guys know, this is my first foray into Van Halen 3, doing this show, listening to these songs. And obviously I have not been very keen on any of them except for Without You. Without You, I said, okay, that one's not bad. I can dig that one. But yeah, overall so far, the record, as a whole from where we're at now is disappointing. That's absolutely the one word review I would give it.
So that said, Mark, it's Gary Cherone's birthday. Should we just bite the bullet and do a Gary song, or should we actually spin the wheel?
We can't. You already gave your friends so much shit about breaking format. We can't break the format now. Although it would be somewhat poetic in a weird way if we spun yet another for the second week in a row, yet another Van Halen 3 tune, just as the universe giving us a middle finger. I am personally not going to manifest a Van Halen 3 tune whatsoever.
No?
I am fully look. It's been a long day, and I would just really like to kick back and listen to some party rock. So please give me some Ain't Talking About Love. Just please give me that.
You and I are coming from the same spot. I had a very long day too. Give me something fun. I would love some I'll Wait from 1984. The practice spin tonight landed on Pound Cake. Holy fuck, would I love me some Pound Cake tonight? That would be amazing. You know, give me some Hear About It Later. Oh, God, I've been waiting for another Fair Warning cut. Hear About It Later would be fantastic. And Diver Down is an album we barely touched. You know, maybe even something like even Dancing in the Streets. Why the fuck not?
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad at that. Give us.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Let's jump. Like, really, just let's just dive right into it. Let's pardon the pun, jump right into it. I mean, like, might as well. It's going to happen eventually. So now's a good time, I think.
Totally agree. But what do you say? Let's get over here. I'm going to shuffle the order.
All right.
God, we haven't had a lot of luck here lately.
No. Nope.
So just so the people know, I hit shuffle like 100 times. We're starting on Romeo Delight. So if the wheel spins all the way around a couple times, like Price is Right, maybe we'll hit Romeo Delight. That's what we're starting on. What do you say, Mark?
Look how close it is to Ain't Talking About Love. It's right there. It's right there.
You know what?
It's right there.
Run Around is the track above, and I'll Wait is the track below.
Yeah. Oh, it's
Ain't
so
Talking
close.
About Love
All
is
right.
three below, yeah.
All right, here we go.
Be kind.
Take it away, Sammy.
Here we go.
Oh, and it's going to be. Oh, it's a good one, though. Oh. It's a good one. Oh. Top Jimmy. 1984. That works.
Yes, that works. I accept that.
All right. Tell us, we haven't done a 1984 song in quite a while, Mark. Tell us your thoughts.
No, we haven't. This is one of the albums that I absolutely adore from the entire catalog. One that I wouldn't say I know it top to bottom all the way through, but definitely one that I keep coming back to. Top Jimmy, however, is one of the ones that I've kind of maybe only sort of listened to in passing. I've never actually sat down and paid great attention to it. I'm aware of it, and I know the song for sure, but I haven't given it an analytical sort of listen through. So this is going to be really fun. I'm excited about this. How about you? Do you have fond memories of Top Jimmy?
Absolutely. I have fond memories of everything on this album, but I believe it's the one song from 1984 they've never done live.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. They've done like there's nine songs on the album, and 1984 being the instrumental, but I don't think, I'm just checking setlist.fm. Panama Jump, Hot for Teacher, I'll Wait, 1984, Girl Gone Bad, House of Pain, and Drop Dead Legs. So yeah, they've never done Top Jimmy. It's the one song on this album they've never played live.
Interesting. Wonder why.
Well, hopefully, I don't want to tip my hand or anything, but when we hear the song, we might be asking that question a little bit more, because I remember all these tracks as being classics, and Top Jimmy's just another one. It's hard to downvote any song on the first six albums, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's fair.
But tonight we're getting probably the deepest cut on 1984, so I'm really looking forward to this one.
It ain't Top Gun Maverick, but it is Top Jimmy. So I'm ready to dive in whenever you are, my friend.
All right. Let me just bring it up here. This is Top Jimmy from 1984's
classic little Eddie intro of that little, you know, just kind of noodling around, you know, nothing too elaborative, just to give you a little taste of things to come. Love it. And very, I don't know if you could tell from the screen here, the audience obviously can't see me, but got very giddy and excited because I completely forgot the dive bombs. Eddie does the dive bombs on his guitar, and you guys know that I'm such a fan of that. And not only that, he makes those dive bombs sound like whale noises. It's like, it makes it seem like there's a herd of whales coming through, and it's like, it's gonna get heavy, son. We got whales. I just thought that just made me just really, really smile. But I love it. I as the line says, Top Jimmy cooks, you damn right it does. And it's not even we're not even like really, really into it yet. We're just getting right into the first chorus. And already it's a very good time.
I tell you what, I found a little piece of trivia here on Top Jimmy and on the guitar, especially Mark, you'll find this interesting. It's in an unknown tuning. Ed had a melody in his head and simply tuned the guitar to the melody he was hearing.
Oh, you know, I could kind of tell that, like when he's picking a little bit, the strings, if the strings are out of tune, there's a particular sort of tone they give off. And I just kind of assumed that, maybe it was the way he was playing, the guitar for that, particular riff. But, now that you say that, yeah, I could see that, being the case, but that's very interesting because not a lot of dudes do that.
No, not at all. And actually, here's another one. I've never heard of a Ripley stereo guitar. Have you?
A Ripley stereo guitar? No.
Yeah. So, thanks to the Van Halen Encyclopedia for this tidbit, but it's the only fourth in existence at the time was used on this album, a Ripley stereo guitar. Each string was assigned either the right or the left. So the sixth string was on the left, fifth string on the right, fourth string on the left, third string on the right, second string on the left, first string on the right. Therefore, a stereo guitar.
Huh. Well, I mean, makes sense when you put it like that, but... You know, I did a quick Google search, and I've definitely seen the stereo guitars. I just did not realize that's what they were.
Oh, cool.
Very interesting.
All right, so the lyrics of this were inspired by a musician named Top Jimmy. Top Jimmy got his name from Top's Tacos, where he worked until he decided to become a blues singer. He was also known for playing outrageous shows at the Whiskey a Go-Go, where Van Halen obviously played as well. Top Jimmy lived up to his name by giving out tacos to starving musicians. So,
That's awesome.
Top Jimmy. Yeah. And yeah. That came right from the Van Halen Encyclopedia, so I think we can take that as gospel. I thought that was a really neat little tidbit.
It is. And why wouldn't you pay tribute to such a person like that by let's write a song and dedicate it to Jimmy? Like, yeah, let's do that. He gave us free tacos.
Exactly. If he's handing out tacos, and trust me, Van Halen, when they were coming up, were starving. They were making like no money. So the fact that there was somebody out there at the Whiskey giving out free tacos, that's huge, right?
And then it is.
Top Jimmy later went on to perform at the Cafe de Grande with his band, the Rhythm Pigs. Together as Top Jimmy and the Rhythm Pigs, they released an album in 1987 called Pigus Drunkus Maximus. You have to look that one up on Spotify.
That is the greatest name ever, and I'm very upset that I didn't come up with it.
Oh, guitar solo. Mark, thoughts?
Oh, I didn't realize this was a dig measuring contest, because that's what this solo just sort of encapsulates. It's like, part of me wonders if the way Eddie's playing it in particular is itself a tribute to, because we said, you said Top Jimmy was a blues player. Maybe the way he played, there's something in there in this solo of Eddie sort of kind of paying tribute, like, I'm going to do this little, I'm going to pick it this way because that's how Jimmy would do it. And it's like, here you go, like, salute. But at the same time, he's like, but don't forget, I'm Eddie Van Halen, so check this out. And, you know, dive bomb, pinch harmonic squeals. And then he's tapping all over the fretboard. I don't see how he has a fretboard after this, because good God, he's everywhere. And I know you're probably thinking to yourself, maybe, well, Mark, that's hypocritical, because Eddie seems like he's doing a whole lot in this solo. And you said last week, doing a whole lot is sometimes too much. I did say that. And I'm making an exception for this one, because this solo was awesome.
So there's actually a mention of Top Jimmy,
there it
Jimmy
is.
And his Rhythm Pigs, yeah. Top Jimmy goes, Top Jimmy swings, he's got the love.
Top Jimmy, go Jimmy, Top Jimmy, ow, he's the king. Oh, Jimmy!
Oh, Jimmy is right. Top Jimmy from 1984. Mark, what are you thinking?
It's nice to actually have some context to what this song is actually about. because like I said, this is not the one I've actually sat down and analyzed when I'm listening to this record. But now knowing that it stems from somewhere, and it's about an actual dude. And then hearing kind of the brief history about who Top Jimmy was, I think this is a very nice, very cool tribute to him. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. And unfortunately, Top Jimmy is no longer with us. He died in 2001. But I'm just looking up a little bit of the history of Top Jimmy and the Rhythm Pigs. The band consisted of Top Jimmy on vocals, Carlos Guitarlos, lead guitar and vocals, Gil T on bass and vocals, Dig the Pig on rhythm guitar, Joey Morales, I guess he couldn't think of a cool name, on drums, and Steve Berlin on saxophone. So that was a Top Jimmy and the Rhythm Pigs. And unfortunately, Top Jimmy no longer with us. But yeah, a very fitting tribute to a Sunset Strip mainstay from the late 70s from Van Halen here. It was wonderful.
Absolutely. But so the question does remain, though we got Van Halen's thoughts on how they feel about Top Jimmy, how about you, Corey? Is Top Jimmy what dreams are made of for you, or is, unfortunately for you, Top Jimmy, is the dream over?
Goddamn rad, baby. Love me some 1984. This is kind of what I was hoping we rolled. I know you were looking at the wheel as it was spinning, Mark, and you were thinking, oh, we got some good ones. We're getting close to, we actually came close to The Dream Is Over from For Unlawful. When It's Love was right there. It was the next song. It looked like we were maybe going to land on it. But no, we ended up with Top Jimmy. I'm very happy with this one. Kind of the deepest cut on 1984. But still, if that's the deepest cut and most obscure song, it's still an absolute banger. It's only 3 minutes. It kind of seemed like just a quick little thing they wanted to get on the record. A nice little tribute to a nice man who gave him some free tacos. God bless him. Sandwiched in between Panama and Drop Dead Legs on side one of 1984. Diamond selling album, a classic album from top to bottom. There's not a bad track on it. And I'm certainly not going to downvote Top Jimmy. I loved every second of that. How about you, Mark? Is this what dreams are made of? Or you've been a killjoy before. Is this dream over?
Fret not, Mark will not be a killjoy this week. not in the slightest. This is not their heaviest song. This is not even one that is just so cooking that it doesn't stop, but it still has momentum and it is still a very good solid track. I really, really, really enjoy the history behind it. It's nice. It's nice when you get songs from bands that you enjoy and you realize what some of those songs are actually about. I like this. It's a nice tribute to someone that they appreciate, and who doesn't love free tacos? I mean, what more could I possibly say about just musically what's going on here? We didn't talk a lot about it musically other than Eddie solo because, well, there's not a tremendous amount of technicality happening in this song. It's the opening riff is very much kind of one of those things Eddie likes to do, a little blues inspired, a little rock riff, but nothing overly complicated. The solo, on the other hand, Eddie just decides he's just going to go just bring out all the stops and just throw it all out, put it all on the table for Top Jimmy to witness and enjoy and appreciate, and as the rest of us. I agree wholeheartedly with what Corey says. There's not a bad track on this album. I'm really glad we spun this one, actually. It's nice to learn more about songs that you know from a band that you love, but get a little bit more in depth with it. So I appreciate Top Jimmy for doing that for us. And Top Jimmy is absolutely what dreams are made of. You're not going to hear me or Corey say anything bad about this album or the tracks on it.
You know, and I would love the respect Diamond Dave is giving to Top Jimmy and some of the lyrics like driving all the women crazy, only want Jimmy baby. Like, David always thought he was kind of the center of the universe when it came to women, right? You know, and that was one of his main appeal. We talked about how it took like three attempts to get him in the band because he sucked so bad as a vocalist, but he had a free PA system, and that's ultimately why they let him in the band. But he also had a shit ton of sex appeal. But he even had to, you know, lay it down for Top Jimmy and say, you know, all the ladies wanted them some Top Jimmy. So this guy must have really been the king of the strip way back in the 70s.
Look, a good taco will go a very long way.
Amen, brother.
So you make a good taco. Yeah. Tell us about it, Dave. You make a good taco. You hand them out for free to starving musicians. And I mean, the least they can do, especially if they enjoy your company, your food and your time, the least they can do is give you a nice fitting tribute on one of their albums. And look, this took all the way. It took them all the way to 1984 to get to it, but they got to it. And, you know, maybe it was something they promised Jimmy at one point. It was like, yo, man, these tacos are so good, we should write songs about you. He's like, yeah, yeah, sure you will. He's like, no, one day we will. One day.
When you're a starving musician. Oh, God, yeah. When you're a starving musician, and I read a lot of rock biographies in early days. Like, I read, Stephen Davis book on Guns N' Roses and the shit they had to kind of endure before they kind of broke big. And same when you read the amazing Greg Radnoff's book, Van Halen Rising. Same thing. These guys were starving. Trying to get somewhere, taking any gig they can, whether it be a backyard party or an opening slot at the Whiskey or what have you. They did whatever they could. And a free taco goes a long way when you haven't eaten in a few days and you're just living off, you know, the free whiskey you got at the venue the night before.
Yeah. Or the beer, you know, you drink the beer because, you know, you could eat food and be full for a little while, or you could drink beer and be full and drunk and you're having more fun. That was the logic. Better. Yeah, that was the logic with a lot of these bands back then. And, you know, it's hard, but that's the lifestyle. And you just kind of, you hope that the more you keep pushing, the more you keep pressing, that the break will come. And I guess for Top Jimmy, he got his tribute on, I would say, probably their most successful album, 1984.
Well, yeah, they had two that went diamond. One was Van Halen one and the other one was 1984. So, you could say, I guess, technically tied for the most successful album, but, this album was an absolute monster, in the '80s, just like Van Halen one was, in the '70s. So yeah, a fair assessment. I would say this is probably their most successful. It has the biggest hit of all time that we haven't covered yet.
Exactly. Yeah. We haven't gotten there yet, but we've covered one of the hits, or two. We've covered two of the hits.
Hot for Teacher and Panama.
And Panama, yeah. So yeah. Oh, that Panama show was fun.
I love that.
So yeah.
If you're still top five song for me, Panama. I know I'm gonna eat a lot of shit from Van Halen fans, but for me personally, Panama's still top five.
If it's a banger, it's a banger. It doesn't matter. You know, we all, that's the beauty of subjective music tastes, is like we all have our varying opinions, but look, it's only because certain songs, certain albums hit us a certain way. And like for guys like you and me, Panama hit us in the right way to where it's like, yeah, I need that song in a top five Van Halen list. Like, I absolutely have to have it. It makes no sense. It wouldn't be there. Whereas, you know, we got fans of the show, we've had former guests that probably would say, it's maybe a top 10 at most, and like, okay, respect that. I don't get it, but I respect it. It is what it is. But that's the beauty of music subjection and everything like that. And but the beauty is that most of the time we're not hating on Van Halen, because Van Halen put out some good music. Apologies to the fans of Van Halen 3. It is what it is. But that's, yeah, they are. Yes, I know. Looking at you, Michael Green. But that's Top Jimmy from 1984. An absolute, I'm breathing a heavy, heavy breath of relief, because we needed that. We needed the respite, from last week. And, it's like Corey and I had long days, so we needed a good kind of rock and tune. Top Jimmy, we accept it. We'll take it. Corey, tell the people where they can locate us and locate the show.
Well, they can locate the show, www.podcastwillrock.com. You can get your merch there. You can catch up on old shows, get our email address, and write us. And I know we've had a few new fans, Van Halen, write in and say they want to be on the show. We'll probably pick those back up again starting in the fall, because in August, it's All-Star August. And the third and fourth guests, I still haven't quite nailed down or confirmed, so I don't want to mention their names. Just know that they're huge. But the first 2 weeks, and actually next week, Kevin from the Tom Petty Project will be on the show. He's been a great interactor on Twitter. He does a great show. If you're at all a Tom Petty fan, listen to this show. I love Tom Petty. So I've been really digging getting into this show. He's doing a fantastic job. And then Heath McCoy, who's an author. He wrote Pride and Passion, which is a great book on Stampede Wrestling, which even if you're just a sports fan, you're going to love this book. But if you're a fan of professional wrestling at all, it's an absolute must read. It is one of the best wrestling books ever written. And I enjoyed the hell out of it. An amazing book. He's going to be on the show. He was on our Van Halen show, Backtracks, Aerosmith Revisited, with me and John Mariano, and did a great job. I don't want to spoil what song we rolled that night, but it's a very, very obscure live song that we had a lot of fun with. So look for that show coming out. But Heath is a huge Van Halen fan. And I know he's been looking forward to spinning that wheel. And unfortunately, usually when somebody looks forward to spinning the wheel, they've been spinning, you know, nothing good. yeah. It was actually a conversation on the Deep Dive podcasting Twitter feed. It was like, you know, all the Deep Dive guys that come on, they're not spinning gold. So Greg didn't spin a good one. Last week, of course, George spun Van Halen 3, and Scott didn't roll a classic either. So there's talk of conspiracy that maybe the wheel has something against the Deep Dive boys. So we'll see the next time we get one of those guys.
Very well could be. Yeah, very well could be. And we apologize for that. But the wheel is fickle, as we always say.
She's got a plan. Like, she gave us three Women and Children songs in a row, which is just unbelievable. But, you know, well, on the anniversary of For Unlawful, she spun a For Unlawful track. So the wheel definitely has a plan. I just wish we were kind of in on it, but I'm very glad. I'm very happy with what we spun here tonight.
Absolutely. And it is not our position to question the grand master plan of the wheel. We are simply bystanders, and we act accordingly because that is the role we've decided to play. You can find me at Mark the Bat on Instagram and Twitter. Interact with me. Let's have a talk about Van Halen. Let's have a talk about rock music and metal. And if you're into the nerdy things, go ahead and at me there too. It's all good. It's all love. That's what we're here to do. We're here to spread the good word of rock music, of Van Halen music. That's why we do the show, because we are humble fans. We are not rock historians. We're not even experts. No, we leave that to the better people. We are simply fans who enjoy the music of a particular band, and we're here to talk about it. And we want to talk to you guys, you like-minded individuals as well. And if you don't like Van Halen, well, that's cool too, but don't add us, because why? Why bother? Don't do that. So, on behalf of Corey and myself, this is And the Podcast Will Rock, and we will rock you later.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.